IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We have an exciting guest for you today because we are in a new place.
Well, before we introduce you to our special guest, when you said IRS on the Road, we have been on one of the scariest roads in the world.
We've ever been in our lives today. We are in Switzerland, and we decided we were going to try and get to this big, huge, beautiful church up on a hill. And my gosh, I thought I was going to be dead and have my funeral in that church by the time we got there. It was so scary. Oh my gosh, just dropping off the edge by inches on the other, where I was. So I was almost ready to cry, but I didn't.
We usually do a little small talk here, but we want to get right into it today because our theme is all about our son, Talmadge, who goes by Tal, who lives in Switzerland and has done for how many years?
It's been 9 years now.
9 years. And Tal has just finished quite a marvelous book that's going to be released on Father's Day. And its title, I think, is brilliant, is Dad Mode, Getting in the Dad Mode. And the subtitle is
25 Ways to Connect with Your Children.
Isn't nice. That something? You talk about a chip off the old block. I mean, here's a guy who's had to grow up under the scrutiny of people who knew his parents wrote parenting books.
Yes. In fact, the other day, a guy texted me and he said, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. And he ordered a bunch of the books for his sons and sons-in-law, which was great.
Oh, that is great.
But we thought it was actually, I haven't thought of this for a while, honey, but that was our parenting method, was writing parenting books so that everyone knew that our kids had been raised by these parenting experts and the pressure was on them to be ideal children.
Right.
And they were, at least while we were watching them. What went on other times, who knows?
In fact, you need a little more background on Tal. He went to BYU and played basketball.
For the Cougars.
For the Cougars until he went on his mission and for our church. And then he went.
Mission to Brazil.
To Brazil. And then he came back and decided to play for Weber State because.
Well, don't forget. Wait. He played, first of all, for SLIC, Salt Lake Community College, and had a great 1 year. And then on to Weber State. But why should we focus on the basketball? Is it just because Tal's 6'9" and people assume he played basketball?
Well, it's because he decides to do everything he does excellently. And so they ended up going to the big dance from Weber State, and they had a marvelous time. And then he went to work after college, and then he found his way to, this is a miracle actually, to UPenn.
Where he got a master's degree in positive psychology. And by the way, we're enjoying this, Tal, because occasionally when we're speaking, one of our kids, for some reason I remember Noah has frequently introduced us, and it's so embarrassing because you never know what Noah will say. So here we get a chance to introduce our son Tal, who's written this new book, and we're going to be talking to him about the book. But let's milk this moment. What else do we want to say about Tal?
Well, what he learned at UPenn was a lot of wonderful positive psychology. And, you know, for years and years, psychology was for people that were depressed and trying to figure out how to get their lives back together. But this was a different kind of major. It was, and you can explain a little bit better than I can, Tal.
No, you're doing great.
Well, yeah. Marty Seligman, who a lot of listeners may have heard of, sort of the father of positive psychology, was the head of the department, right?
He was the head of the American Psychological Association, and he decided to change the trajectory and go for positive psychology.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, that's what we want, is happiness instead of, you know, obviously there's room for the other kind too, but this kind of psychology was so upbeat. It's just perfect for Tal because is so positive to start out with, but he gathered in all this great information and then realized that it worked for families.
Hal, I think maybe that orientation of yours to the positive originated when you were a young guy playing basketball, and I would have these little sessions with you before the game, and you would visualize making the final winning shot.
I love that.
And then you went out and did it.
Yes.
And now he's visualized this wonderful book for dads. So tell us a little bit more.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. I also remember right while you were in that program at UPenn, whenever we'd see you, you would have some comments based on what you were learning relative to what we were writing about parenting at the time.
Yeah,
and little did we know at that juncture that you would write your own book on being a dad, being a dad who really gets it. So that's all I have to say now.
All right.
What we want you to do, Tal, is tell our listeners. Now, these are our listeners, our IRS on the road listeners. We want you to tell them about this new book and about why you're excited about it. And eventually, before the end of the show, we're going to tell them how to get it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor to be here and to talk to some of your faithful listeners and new listeners. And I got to say, it's just, I got it. One of the things when you do a podcast or when you do a speech, I've learned this from my parents, from the two of you, is you got to know your audience. And I feel like this audience is the perfect audience for a book like this, because I basically learned everything I know about parenting from my parents, right, sitting right here.
I think you've added a few things too.
And then I saw how amazing their work has been. And I actually start the book with the story of when we were on the Oprah show, and that was in 1993.
My gosh, you were how old?
I was 14 years
14.
Old.
14.
And I saw the power of what they were doing. And then that book went, Teaching Your Children Values, went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And I saw how much, you guys were going around the country and around the world talking about this, such an important topic. And I said, I want to carry on that same effort. I want to see how I can enter into this area. And I, in my capstone project at UPenn, I wrote a book proposal, and it was originally called Flourishing Families.
Oh yeah.
And I like that.
It was something about well-being and how do you have that in your family. And then the more drafts I went through, I realized that the dad experience is so different and it's so interesting. And I needed to write more directly to dads. That's where I found my voice, was because that's what I was going through. I was raising our daughter, and it was very different from what Anita, my wife, was going through. And so I changed it and kind of went in that direction.
Which is so interesting, Tal, because we've written, co-authored, as most of our listeners know, so many books on parenting, this big subject, which really needs to be divided into the mother and the father, because they are different in so many ways. And it's only recently that we figured that out. And our grandparenting book, as you know, started out to be a grandparenting book and then split. And Linda wrote her own book to grandmas, and I wrote my own book to grandpas.
Yeah.
And mine's a little teeny thin book with bullet points, which is what grandpas like.
Yes.
And Grammy's is a big, wide, thick book with everything from recipes to whatever. And
whatever.
I like that your book, Tal, your dad mode book, is a little more like my grandparenting book in that it's small, it's to the point, it has a lot of meat in it and bullet points and so on, but it's aimed at one audience, and that's dads, particularly young dads.
Yes. So it starts out for dads who are just expecting, all the way to dads who have kids up to 12 years old. And it's exactly that. It's very individual. And dads are interesting because they're getting more and more involved with the family.
By far.
The role of a dad is changing. And
change diapers now.
Yes.
Changing, yeah.
and you see more and more dads out with their kids and doing these things. And I see this book as a guide, or just as a way to help dads to sort of find ways to connect.
Yeah, connect.
If I learned anything in my psychology studies, it's that connection is the most important thing in family life and in life in general. If you feel connected to another person, it's an amazing feeling. It's priceless. And so I go through these 25 different ways, my best, greatest hits of the things that I've learned with my daughter and with my studies. And it's a lot of fun.
And I love that idea, because so often as parents, we're directing people. You know, we're directing, now do this, now do this, now you need to do it, you need to be this, you need to do that. And the most important thing, you're right, is to be able to connect with them. Like they feel like, you see me, Dad, you see me.
Yes.
I get it. And it really is so valuable, because so many parents just don't see their kids. They just want them to be them in some cases, but they want them to be who they want them to be. And sometimes they aren't really.
Especially dads.
That out.
I mean, I think that's what you're, that's one of the things that's implied in your book, Tal, is that for many generations, I mean, historically, I'm not trying to put an onus on dads, but dads have not connected as well as they should with their a mom is connected. Let's that did just happen.
Yeah.
The mom
yeah,
bears the baby and nurses the baby,
yes.
And connections start very early. But for a lot of generations, dads have been what? I mean, these awful terms, the breadwinner, the provider, person who goes out into the world. What about the connections?
Yes. If this book does anything, it's exactly that point, that is, I actually want to have a new paradigm for dads, and that is one of direct connection with your kids. So it's not the mom is connected and I'm doing something else, providing, and I'm here whenever I can. It's almost like this triangle where the mom and the dad are both connected with the
but
kids.
They're each connected on their own to the child.
Yes.
The dad doesn't go through the mom to connect.
A direct connection with the kid.
I like it.
Yeah.
How about the term dad mode? Because I know that wasn't the original title. Tell us about, because we're not just asking this question parenthetically. We really don't know. I like that title, but how did that come to you and what does it mean?
Yeah, in psychology, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of modes, you know. You can be in discovery mode. You can be in different modes of the way that you're operating in life. And I had been learning about these different modes, and I thought, dad mode, that would be a good title.
Where's the mode for that? Yeah.
And so then I had to give it an actual definition. And so I actually did. I actually wrote up a definition. And the definition is, dad mode is the art of applying consistent and focused effort toward building and maintaining a warm emotional connection with our children.
Whoa, I love that.
I
haven't read that. I mean, you got to understand, as we interview our son Tal here, we have yet to see the final book. We've read early manuscripts and so on, but we'll have that book in our hands for the first time on Father's Day.
Yes. Yes.
It'll be, talk about a birth.
Yes.
Birth of a book is a little like the birth of a baby.
It kind of is. You've gone through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get through this.
It's been 10 years since I graduated with that that project of talking about the book. So it's really been a long way in the making.
It's a decade, the work of a decade.
Yes. And I got to tell you, the illustrations in it are wonderful. This Brazilian illustrator was with our publisher, and he wrote it. And some of my friends have told me that they think they fit so well to my personality, which I love. So every one of the ways, of the 25 ways, has an illustration in it. And that gives the reader this kind of nice easygoing way of.
He has a cute beard, kind of.
He kind of looks a little like you, Tal. Yes. Not quite as good looking, but similar.
Well, this guy does. There's one guy on the cover that does look a little like me, but what I like is also I asked the illustrator to make sure to represent every culture, every
oh, that's good. See, I haven't seen some of those.
So
dad changes in the illustrations. Look at there. There's an African dad.
Oh, we haven't seen these either.
Oh, these are great.
Awesome. So I'll just give the listeners just a little overview of what...
Before you do, Tal, okay. We're going to take a really brief break. Man, time flies when you're having fun. We're going to take a short break and then come right back with
details.
Howard Talmadge Iyer, commonly known as Tal, who's the new author of a great new book called Dad Mode.
We'll be lesson needed this. Hang on.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back, talking about the most exciting book I've thought of all year that I've known, and we haven't even read it yet, but we know it's going to be awesome.
Is this going to be number one on Linda's book club?
For sure. Yeah. All those women.
Now, if we get the moms reading it, it'll be a bestseller.
For sure.
Buy this and give it to your husband.
Right? Yes. Yes.
Some of the meat.
Well, before we do, I just want to mention, because I can just feel listeners like, when can I get this? How can I get it? Guess what? You can pre-order it right now on Amazon. Just look under Tal Iyer or just look up Dad Mode and there it is. You can order it now. It'll ship on May 14th.
Yep, that's the official launch date is May 14th, just in time for Father's Day on June 2nd. So it's very exciting. So to answer you guys' questions, the content, I just went through and I basically did four sections. So the first section is ways to connect. And there's one like jumpstart your connection with this beautiful hormone called oxytocin. There's self-connection, which is a really important one for me. And I think that dads that are connected and understand their own story have a better way of connecting.
Ooh, that's important. Kids. Yeah.
And then I go through co-parenting, how to respond to your children, an authoritative parent stance. So like a parenting style that really saves time and effort. And then I don't know if I want to go through all of them because there's a lot, there's 25 here, but we talk about secure attachment, unconditional love.
You're still in the first section.
Okay. Yeah. And then an emotional safe harbor.
Making the connection.
Well,
right.
That's, I love that, an emotional safe harbor so that they feel like they can share anything with their dad.
But don't get the idea, and we've read enough of the manuscript to know this, don't get the idea that it's a lot of theory. I mean, you know, some of these chapters they're topical, but then in the actual meat of the chapters are very specific. And that's what dads need. I mean, dads don't want a lot of theory. They want results. And I think that's what Tal's aiming at.
Well, moving into this new era, I mean, you see Mary Poppins and you see that stiff upper lip and that dad who has no idea what's going on in his kids' lives.
Yeah.
And I think the dads now have totally change that, but they don't know exactly how to do it. And I love that you do it with step by step. This is how to do it, and things that they would never have thought of.
What's the second section? The first one being ways to connect.
Yep. Well, let me just say real quick, in each way, it's a simple recipe. Each one is, it gives you a gist or an overview of the way of connection, then personal experience from my own life. And then a deeper look on the topic, and then an illustration to reinforce the topic, and then it gives action steps.
Yeah, I love it.
And ways that you can
actually, they all end with action steps.
Connect, and then a conclusion. So the second section, to answer your question, is, let me see here, it's ways to reconnect.
And that's an important one for a lot of dads, because they've lost that connection, if indeed they ever had it. Some dads connect real well with a baby, with a toddler, and then lose the connection and have to reestablish it.
Yes, and also dads lose their cool. So way eight is when a dad loses his cool. And we talk about the psychology behind that and the importance of how to actually communicate that you're starting to get heated to your children so that you don't lose your cool. And then if you do lose your cool, that you need to give yourself at least 20 minutes to calm down before you actually...
Did I ever lose my cool with you, Tal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
I think I lost it the first time you beat me on the basketball court. I totally lost my cool.
Look, we all lose our cool. We're all kind of in a process trying to figure out how, you know, our own story is working. But it's really important to avoid too many losing of our cool with our children.
Right.
Totally. And by the way, I was only half kidding when I said this is a Father's Day gift that you ought to give your husband or that you ought to give your son if you're a grandma or son-in-law.
Especially because son-in-law, maybe that would be.
Because think about it. What do you give for Father's Day? I mean, Mother's Day, you know, we have chocolates and flowers. But what do you give to a dad in your life, whether it's your dad or whether it's your son or whether it's your husband? Well, you know, you can give them a tie, but I would suggest you give them dad mode.
For sure. But go on with your ways to reconnect. I love them.
Well, there's a really cool one about a new twist on apologies and forgiveness. There's one on reconnecting at mealtime. Mealtime is such an important connection time.
You are and the
we really,
of that.
We really made that a major thing in our home. Fight better.
Fight better. There's a good and a bad way to fight.
Thing. Yep. We lose our cool and we fight. It's a common thing in homes and we have to figure out how to do it in the best way possible. Device savvy families.
Ooh, that's a
some people are just waiting. Where's the chapter on technology and screen time and so on?
That's right.
Here it is.
That's right. There's some good ideas in there for technology. And I gotta say, dads and moms, this is a huge wave. This is like trying to put your hand in a large river and stopping it from coming.
Yeah,
technology exactly. is really, really not going anywhere. And we have to figure out how to make it so that it doesn't disconnect the family. And I go into some ideas in that section.
That's so great. Wow.
And then the third section is mindsets for connection. And I talk about growth mindset and praise. And I love the next section is about observing. And one of the things that surprised me most about writing this book and about being a dad is observing is a really big part of it.
It is.
And I learned that from you, Dad, and from you, Mom. You guys watched me and you saw my strengths and you told me what you saw. And it helped me understand who I was as a person.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I think that dads, if we really just, we don't have to always be acting and teaching. And it's actually great to be observing as well.
You know, because you're saying that, I'm remembering you as a child and you struggled to read. Just struggled with reading. And it wasn't dyslexia. We couldn't figure out what it was. But we finally did observe enough that we got you some help and you finally figured out how to make it work for you. And imagine, we would never have imagined when you...
There was a time when the odds were against you getting a master's from UPenn.
Yeah.
But
oh, yes.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
overcame it all. But I want to go to your direct point, Tal, that moms and dads so often, and we've preached this for years, as you know, they start with the end in mind, which is usually good. I want my kid to be this, this, and this, and they never get to, well, who is my kid now? What are his strengths and gifts?
And what do I observe?
We've often called it, think of your child as a crossword puzzle, and where do you find the pieces, and how do you put that together? And until you see what he is now, you've got very little chance of helping him develop it into all it could be. In fact, you're in danger of not knowing what the raw materials are and trying to create something that's not there, especially dads. You know, the old syndrome, well, my son the lawyer, well, my son the doctor, well, my son the politician, well, my son the basketball star. We extend our own egos through our children rather than seeing who they really are.
Yeah.
Well said. So well said. And I think that that's something that I learned so much from you guys, is how to just see and say what you see and be genuine about it. And I just,
You've taken it to a new level. Yes. You've taken it to a new level.
In fact, do you guys remember, you guys told me once that you saw me looking out the window of the car and I was looking, you didn't know what I was looking at. I was looking at the water on a manhole.
Yes, you were late for school and I was so mad, and I just said, get this car wheel good down there, and you were supposed to empty the dishwasher and you hadn't done it, and we've gone, I gritted into the
thing. She said, what were you looking at?
No, I just said, go, and you said, Mom, did you notice how the sun was shining off that water in that manhole cover on the way down here? And that was the moment when this child is different than I
thought. He's seen things that I'm missing. He has a poet in him.
Yeah.
That is what I was going to say, is that was the poet coming out in me. And now I try to spend at least one day or once every day reading or listening to a poem. Because
yes, you do.
It calms me. It's this amazing experience, and that was showing up when I was that age.
That's exactly
because
right.
It's the same feeling that I had when I was looking at.
Yeah, that. I was like, oh, this little tender soul. How could I?
And you started much earlier with your daughter of really seeing who she is, and it's not something you figure out once, because it keeps evolving. You got to keep that observation and that watching of your child going for the whole life, because they're evolving.
So well said. I gotta say, I'm sitting here with the masters.
But I did learn this, in fact,
in the room next to us, we filled the whole doorway with little awards that my daughter got, because we when we saw a pattern, we said, you know what, that is a pattern. You don't just invent sometimes. You love inventing. You're going to get the inventor award. And we drop a little award and put it on her door. And she shows us that door. And she says, these are the things that I'm good at. My parents have seen these things in me.
But they're not manipulative. It. You're not saying, these are the things I'd like you to be, so I'm going to tell you are that, so you'll become that. You're looking deeper. You're trying to see what the person really is.
It's a very important point, and dads need to remember this. Is like, it's not about trying to manipulate them into being someone. It's what you see. Just reflect that and show them. And then I do think there is a tiny space for, if you want to help them with a character trait,
right,
they may not be good at. For example, I wanted my daughter to be good at noticing. And I said, there's going to be a noticing award. I'm going to get the noticing award because look at that there. And then she said, no, I want to get the noticing award. Yeah. And she wants to see these beautiful things.
So that can be aspirational.
So you can do both. So I kind of draw a line between both in that section.
That's so cool.
Well, I want you to mention the last two sections. And then I want to make a comment, because I'm worried about a misconception here. Go ahead.
Okay. So the last one is, let's just go to the last section, is ways to create a lasting connection. And that's where you're creating a family culture, and you're creating a vision and mission statements. And then the power of stories is the end of the
So podcast. My caution is, if you were to read and that's all we have time to do on a podcast, but if you were to read or listen to just the table of contents, you might have the misconstrued impression on this book that, you know, here's a guy, a master's from UPenn in applied in positive psychology. It sounds a little complicated or a little theoretical. Believe me, it is the opposite of that. I'm giving my personal endorsement now as a dad. Dads want doable, proven ideas. And this book is full of them. And if you're a dad and you're reading it, or if you're a mom and you're giving this book to your husband or to your son or whatever, what's going to happen is they're going to read it and certain of those ideas are going to resonate. Maybe not every one, and that's okay. But the ones that resonate will be the ones they need in order to make the connections that will be the best thing for the life of that child and, frankly, the biggest joy in that dad's life.
That is the biggest joy in my life over the last 12 years is when I feel directly connected with my wife and with my daughter.
There are just so many beautiful nuggets in this. I know I see one chapter is, I might be wrong, but
I like that.
I love that because as parents, we think we are right. And this kid does not get it. And just even saying, I might be wrong, gives them a chance to say, but this is what I think. And then they express their opinions and then they're connected with. I just love
that. Thank you so much for saying that, Mom. And I have to just say, this is this concept of intellectual humility.
Yeah.
And I think it's the really the answer for our time in this polarized world we live in. If we can say, you know what, I might be wrong about this, or actually find a joy in being wrong in front of your kids,
right. Oh, yeah.
then you're really showing them that this is a world where we need to think again. This is a world where we need to reevaluate constantly. And if we're doing that, we're not going to be polarized and think us versus them. We're going to be saying, you know what, let's see what we can learn from this other side.
So well said.
I think that's such an important point right now.
It really is.
You listeners get the message. It's only been a half hour, but you get a feel for who Tal is. This is, you know what just occurred to me, Tal? This is a man's book. I mean, I don't mean that in the macho sense. I mean it in the sense of this is a man writing to other men about what needs to be done and how to do it to make these connections. And it's different than a mom's connection. It's different than a grandparent's connection. Dad to daughter, dad to son. It's a very specialized kind of thing. And I'm going to give my unabashed endorsement. This is from one man, an older man, to all you younger men. I'm older than all of you who are listening, probably. And this is a book for you. And remember, it's available right now. I mean,
go to Amazon right now and just order it.
Go to Amazon right now and put in dad mode and look at the book. You'll love the illustrations. I think you can see the first couple of pages right there. You'll see the table of contents Tal's talked about. And if you're a dad, buy it for yourself on Father's Day. And if you're a mom, get it for your husband.
And there's just a lot of good men in your life that need this book. But it will actually be delivered on May 14th, right?
Yeah, that's the shipping date.
May 14th, and then it's perfect time.
They'll have time to read it before Father's Day.
June 2nd.
June 2nd, Father's Day.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Tal. This was a real joy because I haven't seen the details on this either. We don't have a book in our hands, but we know your mind and we love it. Thank you for doing this great book.
Thank you.
And right now, Mom Linda is giving her son Tal a great big hug. And so we join all of you in a big collective hug for parenting. And do you have one final word, Tal?
Well, I just want to say that there was a study by the Harvard. It's called the Harvard Adult Study. It's called the Grant Study.
Yeah.
And they said that the biggest thing that we can do is have warm relationships with those closest to us. That's the biggest indicator of happiness and health. And that's one of the reasons that I wrote the book, because it's all about warm relationships with the people that we're closest to.
That's awesome.
May we all do it. And as for Linda and I, we'll see you next time
on Fires on the Road. Bye-bye.